This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it's a little cold, but other than that, I'm fine.
Right? What happened? It's like the temperature cut in half.
It did. I mean, it just cut itself in half. It's cold. Everybody's got their sweaters on. Everybody's got their heat on. I don't know what caused all this. And it's been raining and raining. I don't know if that's what caused the temperature to drop. I don't know.
We don't usually.
But I'm telling you, it's like winter.
Yes, and it's like it's so early in the year for this. This doesn't usually happen, this early into September. I mean, golly, it usually stays nice and sweltering until what, October, even into November sometimes. So,
lots of times we don't even wear sweaters, till end of October.
I know.
And this morning, people have got sweaters and coats on. I can tell you that.
Yes. It's just, man.
And I don't understand it. What happened? I don't know. I just know that it is coat and sweater weather. And last weekend, on Labor Day weekend, we were in the pool.
Yeah.
It was 100 degrees, folks.
Yeah.
And and here it is. Not fall, but winter.
Yeah, within a couple of days, drops down to 50, even some places upper 40s. Man.
That's right.
Now, I will say that a lot of times when that happens, it's a nice little crisp morning, and it's a nice little glimpse of fall. So, even if I know we're not out of the woods altogether, it's not going to stay that way for forever. But, still, it's a nice
it
change.
It feels like it this morning.
Yeah. You want to go get some apple cider and do a little trick-or-treating or something like that.
I mean, you're thinking, how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
And you just don't know.
You never know.
But you never know. It's supposed to get warm later on. It's Saturday. Next Saturday is supposed to be 87.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to get back up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Now, do you believe that? I mean, here it is, this morning, 50 degrees, but it's supposed to get warm. It's hard to believe. It's going to get back up in the 80s this next week.
I don't know what and I'm not a weather person. I have no idea, but there's an awful lot of weird stuff that is happening, It's just like so many extreme things, the temperature, here goes from 100, then cuts in half, and then you've got, two storms down in the Gulf at the same time. You've got hurricanes that are like way ahead of hurricane season. There's all these weird things that are happening everywhere. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know either. And then we've got all the weirdos. So, weird weather and weirdos together.
Well, now, I've been accused of being a weirdo for a long time, so that's not news to me. That's been going along for many, many years.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's don't go up north. As long as you're not up north, you won't be too weird, but don't go there. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. I know, right? It's just like, geez.
I've never read anything like it. I mean, their tourism has got to have dropped to zero minus.
You would
because
think.
The Hilton Hotel has closed in New York City. There is no tourism. No tourism in New York.
Wait, are you
Hilton
serious?
Hilton has closed its big hotel.
I didn't even hear that. I didn't know. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had to close because of all that's going on. They say right now New York is not safe to walk down the street.
Really?
It is not safe in New York City to walk down the street.
I had not heard that. I heard about everything going on over in Rochester, but I did not hear about New York City. Interesting.
Yes. And it's just They say, don't come to New York. Well, I guess no one has. And the Hilton, as I said, has closed down the big hotel there in New York City. Now, if this happens to a lot of them, you know, it's really going to hurt the cities if they don't get a hold of their crime and get something done.
When the Hilton closes, is that permanent or is that just temporary?
Well, it just said in the news that they were closing it. They didn't talk about reopening. They said, we were closing the hotel. There is no tourism left.
Wow. I know airlines have been in a lot of trouble. I know, I forget which one it was, but one of them cut back like a third, I want to say a third of their workforce, I think.
Yeah, and they're going to lay off 2,700 pilots.
That's a shame. I know the numbers came out on Thursday. I think it held steady somewhere around 800-something thousand new unemployment claims. I think that's what it was. Somewhere around 800,000.
And we've created over a million jobs in just this last month.
I know.
So it's looking better that way. But I think because of this virus, a lot of things are going to have to change. People are going to have to change the jobs. They're going to have to find something else to do until things come back. I don't know how long it'll take for airlines to rehire all these pilots, but it looks like it might be a year or two.
Yeah, yeah, and if hotels are starting to close, it could be another another sector of another industry that that kind of, you know, starts to dwindle away, I guess.
Yeah, and a lot of these are public companies, and that's bad too, because that means that the stockholders are going to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, that's always a bad thing.
So,
and I'm thankful every day that we're in the business that we're in, that we're not in the airline business, we're not in the food industry business, we're not in retail.
Exactly.
And when you think about all that, you've got a lot to be thankful for.
Anybody new close as far as retail goes this week? Because I know that we ran down a big list over the last, you know, several weeks.
Well, Brooks Brothers has been bought by a company, and they say they're not afraid that people are going to go on living, and they're going to be buying shirts and pants and suits, and they've bought them out of bankruptcy.
Really? I didn't hear that. Wow.
Yeah. And I go, wow. Of course, the big deal last week was Lord & Taylor, 200 years old closing. Nobody would have ever thought that Lord & Taylor would have went under.
I know, right?
I wouldn't have believed that for anything. You know, Lord & Taylor came to Texas years ago. They were at the Galleria, and they were at North Park. And, you know, there was so much competition. And, of course, the Galleria was so expensive, they went back to Chicago, where they've been all these hundreds of years, 200 years. And they were a great retailer, and I don't know what went wrong. I guess in that short time, they just couldn't make it. I guess they lost so much during the closure and all this that they're closing their doors.
You know, when we were kids, we were always encouraged, you know, make sure you find a job with a good company that has been around for a long time. They're really, really stable. And I guess this just kind of shows that nobody is really 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And so it's like, you know, I know I'm starting to hear stories about people trying to get back into the workforce and trying to say, you know, hey, what could I possibly get into that wouldn't suffer from something like this? And it's difficult to find. Now, fortunately, what you're doing, you know, with people investing in life insurance policies, completely different from everything else. And so you're kind of in one of those unique things, but not everybody can do what you do because, well, obviously you're very good at it. You've done it for a long time. That's not something that somebody can just open up just, you know, willy-nilly. And do so. People are looking for other alternatives, which makes the whole thing with this ideal. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And you're right. You know, when you're doing something that doesn't require inventory. And I've said this a lot lately because I'm so thankful for it. But I'm thankful we're not in the oil business or retail. And some people came to me and talked to me this week. they said, you know, we've been saving money a long time, 10 years to be exact, and said, we want to do something different. They said, would you recommend real estate or oil? And I go, oh, my gosh.
Real
estate. The two things right now that you should lay off and not be doing that right this minute. And I talked to this person. I said, now, why did you think real estate? Well, they said, we see all these things that people are building. I said, but when you have a downturn, if you're in real estate, you better have something that you've got enough money to make those payments on that real estate, you know, for 2-3 years out.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, oil right now, the companies are in serious financial difficulties, so I don't think that would be a good thing, you know. So then we talked about our business and, you know, how stable it is. And I said, you know, one thing about our business, it's stable all the time. It doesn't really have ups and downs. You know, we buy policies when they're available. We put people in them. When they mature, they get paid. I said, that's, you know, it's as simple as I can put it. You know, like a lot of these companies, like you take Neiman Marcus. We would have never thought they would have declared bankruptcy. They should have had millions of dollars set aside.
Yeah.
Now, why was there not millions of dollars by Neiman Marcus?
Probably
because there used to be. It was a huge company.
Yeah.
But it sold 3 times. It's my understanding that they paid all these executives just before they went into bankruptcy.
Yep. Yep. So they all got their big bonuses, and then they're sad, but the company is not. So.
That's right. Well, we have, as you know, over 700 clients.
Yeah.
Over 700. We manage $100 million, which to me is quite a bit. And, you know, we have turned this money for people over and over, and that's how they make money. They come to us and they say, look, we need to be diversified. We want to do something that's different than what we've got now.
Yeah.
So then we talk to them and say, okay, if you're qualified, if you're an accredited investor, you can do this. You have to make either $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million to do this. So, you know, when they come in, they say, "Well, what kind of money can I make?" And we tell them, you know, the average right now is about 24%. And somebody told me this week that several mutual fund companies, none of them are doing it like we do.
Really?
And they said, yeah, none of them are paying what we are paying. And I didn't know. I knew one company that was paying 8%, but I didn't know about the others. And they said, Faye, you're paying more than all these others. You don't have to pay that much. You can do it like this. And I said, well, you know, we've already told people all these years, we'll pay you 1% a month. And I said, that's what we pay.
And it works.
And it works for us. And they're paying a lot less. And they're saying, well, a mutual fund company doesn't have to pay that. I said, that's okay. But that's what we agreed to. And so our people are making more than if they were doing it through a mutual fund company.
Is there any reason at all? I mean, because I know you're always analyzing the data and you're always making sure that, you know, you're still doing things the right way and it's still profitable. It's still, you know, nothing has changed in the marketplace. And so, you know, and when there are changes, I know you tend to change with it, you know, because the whole goal is to make people money and do the right thing. Do you see any reason at all? And I'm guessing I know the answer. Do you see any reason at all to maybe make any changes, any tweaks? You know, I know 1% is the kind of investment that people, you know, slow and maybe not slow and steady, but conservative and steady would be the way to describe it, I guess, over several years. Do you see any reason to change anything at all to adapt to a new marketplace?
No, I hope that we don't have to. I hope that we can go on like we're going and not have to do what the other companies are doing, you know. Because we find the policies, you know, we buy the policies, we bid on them, and we don't get all of them. Because like you say, these other companies don't have to make what we have to make for our clients. So sometimes they'll outbid us. Sometimes we don't get all the ones we want. But we know why. We know that they're not going to pay their people the kind of money we do. But when we get a good policy, our people make good money. There's no doubt about it. You know, so far this year, and we've talked about it in the last 2 weeks, Our people have collected $14 million.
Wow.
We've had $14 million in maturities, and this year is not over.
I know it.
So I think we will have a lot more maturities before the end of the year. So, you know, we're counting on maturities. When we do it, that's the whole ball game, is to get maturities as quickly as possible for people. That's why we try to do, you know, 12 months to 36. We try not to go over 36 months. A lot of people will do 5 to 7 years, but they're not really sick if you've got a 5 to 7 year policy. It means you just bought that person's policy. You know, you bought them out because they wanted to sell their policy. But how do you know in 7 years, if they're not sick, that it's going to mature?
Exactly.
It might not mature for 20 years if they're not sick.
Would you say that's the cornerstone of what makes your specific life settlements so much more appealing to people as to maybe other options? It's very specific types of policies. Would you say that's the cornerstone?
I think so, because everybody knows that we do cancer policies. That's our niche pen. That's what we do. I went back and looked, and there's been a couple of times that we even did a heart deal years ago. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, it matured and we got paid. But we did one heart deal in all these years.
Really?
They had congestive heart failure, bad congestive heart failure. And they did pass away. But we've done one. So that tells you how much faith we had in that. You know, we know that the cancer deals work. We know that, we're going to have a maturity. It's going to be either early, on time, or it'll be late. And if you've got 6 policies, there's probably 2 that'll be early, probably 2 on time, and probably 2 that's late.
On average.
Because, yeah, on average. You know, the people we talked about last week, the doctor that just died, Dr. Sullivan, that was with Cleveland Clinic, you know, they were showing him way out. 40 to 50 months, they thought this doctor was going to live.
Wow.
But he didn't. He lived 2.5 months.
Yeah, it was really, really fast.
It was really fast. So, you know, they'll be getting a certified death certificate. They'll be getting that done and getting that to us. Kaufman. Everybody was waiting on the Kaufman policy. It has hit the bank now. Everybody will have their money this week. 2 or 3 people had called about it. And, of course, you know, we do every one of these as fast as we can. You know, once we know they have passed away and we're notified, you know, we're looking for that certified death certificate either from the funeral home or the family. Usually it comes from the funeral home. If not, we will go to the county clerk's office. And some of them aren't open now because of the pandemic. But the ones that are, you know, we will send a courier to their office to get this. So we do it as quickly as possible, but it is taking longer than it used to, you know, because of this. You know, used to in 6 weeks, usually, maybe 8, we had everything paid off, and now it's taking longer than that. But we still know that we're going to get our money for the clients. We know it's going to go to the bank. The bank will put the money in their account. That's what I love, is it goes from the insurance carrier to the bank, and the bank distributes the money.
With
and
those,
that way you always know you'll get paid.
And that's important, too. I mean, people have sat around for a long time, especially, you know, if they've been in the stock market for a number of years. They wonder if they're going to get paid, if there's any opportunity to get paid, you know, if it's going to go down and they're going to have to pay somebody. You know, I mean, there's a lot of questions here. So for those, like you mentioned, that are closed, what's the plan? How do you go about getting the process complete so that people can get paid? Do you have other people you contact, or what? How do you get around those types of things?
Well, lately we've had to go to our attorney and say, you know, help us on this. And he's had to help us on 2 or 3 in the last 6 months when we were just, you know, trying desperately to get the death certificate and everything was closed. And he came in, he got them for us, speeded it back up and helped us and got us caught back up. When we were really having a trouble there, you know, in the first part of the year when this virus was really bad and they closed everything. So it did make it a lot more difficult. but things are getting better again, and it looks like it's getting a little bit easier, you know, to get the death certificates. But I know on Kaufman especially, I had two or three calls, people saying, you know, when do you think we'll get paid? And I said, you know, as soon as we get the death certificate and get it to the carrier, they always pay within about 12 to 15 days.
Okay, so it's not a big deal. It sounds like Plan B is working out very well.
Yeah, I think it's working pretty good. And, you know, we've got right now, we've got another $3 million that'll be coming to us that has matured that we have sent for death certificates on about $3 million right now. So we've got more coming all the time. And then, you know, we're looking at policies every day. We're bidding on policies, trying to get all these policies done and get people's money back out where they will make more money. So it's different than the stock market. It's not we hope we'll get paid or we don't know how much we're going to get paid, but you know what you're going to make. You know how much you're going to get paid. The only variable in this whole deal is when. You know, will it be in on time or will it be late or will I get my money early?
You know, I would imagine that's probably a completely different approach for a lot of people because just knowing that, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, if you're going to get paid, you don't have to worry about how much you're going to get paid. I would imagine that really two-thirds of the equation are taken care of. People's minds can be at ease that, yes, you are going to get paid. It's just a matter of when. Do people get anxious and, you know, do they, you know, gosh, we got to get paid now. Or are people, you know, pretty easygoing and understand the, you know, the situation and the landscape? And
most people are great. We probably got two people out of 700 that are really a burden to us. the rest of them don't call. They don't ask when we call them and say, you've had a maturity. They're glad. They send us a thank you. They take their money. They reinvest, and they go just going about their business because they know it works. But we've got a couple people that every time before maturity, they're calling. And, you know, one of them said one time, there's something funny going on. I said, well, let me know what it is, you know. I don't know anything funny going on this case, you know. I mean, it's real simple. When we get the information, the life expectancy on a person, we don't know the doctor. We don't know any of these people. Every one of these are independent. You know, one time an old guy said, well, I think you changed it. I go, oh, my gosh. You know, we don't have anything at all to do with that. We buy the life expectancies from the providers. The providers are the ones that get the information and get it to us. We have nothing to do with that. We don't pay for the information. It comes to us free from the licensed provider. They're the ones that pay for the health information, not us. So, you know, it is completely independent. We don't have a thing to do with that end of it. So when we get this, the only time that we get involved is if it runs over. If it runs over, we will ask for a new life expectancy, and we pay for it. And that cost us about $650 to get a new life expectancy if one does go over. But otherwise, it's independent. We have nothing to do with it. Even when we pay for it, it's independent. We just call that company and say, you did the life expectancy originally. We need an update because they have not passed away. So, you know, it's just that simple. And we have nothing to do with what that doctor's going to say.
Let me make sure I understand. Sometimes if you have to order a new LE, it costs $650, and you do not pass that down to investors. You just take care of it yourself?
That's right. We do not charge them for that at all. I mean, that's our expense.
Dude, I'm telling you, most people, no matter what business they're in, are going to pass those expenses down to people. That's really, really upstanding on your part. That is super impressive. I don't think we've ever talked about that before.
No, we haven't because I just never thought about it. But we do pay for those, and so every year we have that added expense. If something goes over, if we have, let's say that we have five policies go over, we order a new life expectancy on every one of them.
Wow.
We always have. So, you know, we have a lot of expenses involved in this. Like you say, it's not ever passed on. We do not do that.
That's amazing.
We pay for that. All these other expenses, that's our part of our deal, and that's what we do. But when we get these policies for them, we send out the life expectancy and say, okay, here's a policy we'd like for you to invest in. Here is the life expectancy. Here's what they think will happen. This is how much cancer they've got. And please read the reports. They read the reports and they make up their mind if they want to do this. So then they send us an email and say, yes, we want to invest in this. We like this.
How many people do you have any at all? I'm sure you do. That will see a policy and not want to be in. And if so, what is their usual? What's their reasoning? Because I know you go through these.
Well, every once in a while, we'll have someone that doesn't invest in a policy, and I'm always shocked because if I didn't think they were good, I wouldn't have bought them. But most people say, yes, I want to be invested in that. I want to be fully invested. In fact, a lot of people, if they're not fully invested, are not happy. They'll call the office and they'll say, put me on the list for the first available policy. And right now, I was looking at my secretary's desk yesterday, and she had a list of people that want to be in the first policy. And this happens a lot. We have a list of people say, put me in for the first available. So we keep those people in mind at all times because they want to be first in line.
Is every investor completely active, or do some people take a break for a little bit?
Sometimes people do take a break. They'll say, no, I'm not going to invest anymore right now. We've had people do that and come back 6 months later and say, well, you haven't offered me any policies. And I'm shaking my head. I'm going, what? What do you mean I haven't? And they say, well, you haven't even asked me to get in a policy. I said, well, you told me several months ago you didn't want to. Well, that was just for right then. So you just have to, you got to be able to read them even though they're not telling you this, okay?
Yeah.
You got to be able to figure this out.
No doesn't always mean no. It means kind of maybe.
No, it means maybe. I don't know today. Maybe tomorrow, Oh, my gosh. Yeah, people have different opinions from day to day.
So how does the whole thing work for, like, investing and, reaching their retirement goals and just flat-out growing wealth? Because I know, when we talk about when policies come in late and people sometimes get a little bit anxious, it's not like we're talking about, somebody living paycheck to paycheck and their check is a little bit late or it bounced or anything like that. We're talking about people who are set. They've got a good base. They've got a good established wealth base. They're well-diversified. They're just looking to grow it even more. It's smart investing is what this is. And so I would imagine that probably people go into it, with the aspect of, hey, I'm just going to make as much money as I can. And they just kind of go with the flow. Is that generally the attitude of people who?
I think it is. Everybody says, I need to make as much as I can in the next few years. Let's see what we can do. And they'll say, Faith, see what you can do for me. And we do it. And as I said, a lot of people, they start out by themselves, then their family members come in, the brother, the sister, the mother. I have a lot of families. The whole family's in with us. And once they start making money, they tell the rest of the family, they come in with us. I've got one family that, let me see, I had the husband and the wife, I had her two sisters. The brother helped back. He's with a bank in Lubbock. And he helped back, and this year, for the first time, the brother came in. And that's the whole family. I've got the wife, her two sisters. Now we have the brother. And so that whole family is with us. The brother is a president of a bank, and I think he just waited. I don't know what his deal was, but this year he's come in with us. So we have a lot of families that are with us. A lot of people, when they came in, their mother joined them. and invested with them because they were older, and we require somebody to invest with them if they're older. And you know, they've been with us a long time. We've got one family that's two brothers and a mother, and all these people recommend us to other people. As I said, the people in California work in Midland. They're here most of the time, and a friend of theirs recommended us. And so then they called us from California and said, you know, they wanted to invest with us. So that's how this really works. Everybody tells somebody else, or they listen to us on the radio for a long time, and then they come in and invest. Remember, men procrastinate. They put everything off till tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't want to get in a hurry. Men do not get in a hurry.
No.
And they'll listen to us for a long time, and then they'll say, well, I've been listening to you for years, but now I'm ready to do something. And they'll call and talk to me about an investment. I may not hear back from them for a month.
What makes people...
Once they make up their mind, then it's another 3 or 4 weeks or a month before I hear back and say, yes, we want to invest. I had some people about a month ago said, we've been listening for you for years. We're fixed to go on vacation. We'll call you back next week and tell you what we're going to do. I said, okay. I forgot about them. About 3 days later, the office called and said, you know, the people came in just right out of the blue and said they were ready to do this.
Really?
Yeah, and they did it before they went on vacation.
Really?
They said they were going to do it afterwards, but they didn't.
So they did not procrastinate.
They came in and did it before they, yeah. So they didn't procrastinate once they made up their mind. They procrastinated for several years before they came in, but then, you know, once they came in, they decided to go for it.
When people flip that switch and they say things like, you know, hey, I've been thinking about doing this. I've been listening to you for a long time. This is something that's been on my plate. Are you hearing different stories from people who maybe in the last several months with the change in, you know, really everything? Are you hearing different reasons that make people actually get up and start as opposed to what you heard maybe a couple of years ago? Has that changed at all, or is it?
A lot of people have always thought about it. They've been thinking about it for a long time. They just finally got up the courage to come in. They've been thinking about doing it, but they don't want to get in a hurry. And they think and they think, and then all of a sudden they say, this is what we want to do. You know, we want to do this. We're ready. And they bring some money and do it. And they've always been thinking about it. It's just, you know, a procrastination gets in the way. And they talk about it, they think about it, and then when the market is zigging and zagging and up and down, I think that sometimes changes their course, you know, as to what they want to do. And sometimes it's just they're tired of the stock market, flat out. They just want to make a change.
You know, I know people sometimes, you know, you're talking about how people recommend, you know, family members and coworkers and friends and things like that. Do you ever find that people maybe after they've been procrastinating for a while, they come in and then they want to start actually making some money? They want to, you know, start getting into life settlements and things like that. Do you find that people maybe start out a little bit slow and then, you know, as it works out, they kind of put a little bit more in and then a little bit more in and kind of build up that way? Or do they go all in?
Well, I had some people 2 or 3 months ago brought $700,000. Now, sometimes they'll bring $100,000. You never know what they're thinking. And I've had several people lately sold their business. So they've brought that money to us. They weren't even in the stock market. They sold their business. And so several people have sold their business the last 2 or 3 months. And they've put that with us. They didn't want to put it in the stock market and take any risk. Especially if you're a conservative person and you own a business, you know, you're going to want to put it in something conservative. You're not going to take a chance of losing that money that you've worked all your life for.
Yeah.
And as I said, I've had several people that are selling their businesses right now.
Tell me that story real quick.
I'm thankful that they can sell it.
Yeah.
With times like they are.
Oh, I know it. It's like, man, sometimes people are, you know, stuck with an anchor and they can't do anything.
That's
but
right.
Yeah, it is a good thing that people can sell it. Tell me a story real quick before we get into trivia about the, because I know we talk about you have one investor who has been with you for a while, I think, and then she makes a bunch in interest and she started out slow and then kind of built up a little bit.
Well, I have one really good customer, and I can't tell you who she is, but she lives north of us. I'll just say that. She lives north of us. She came in about 2014, and she put some money with me. She put a little bit more money with us. And over the years, she has put a lot of money with us. We've made her a lot of money. And, you know, her interest payments with us are a lot of money. She's made a lot of money. She's a great client and a good friend. And I think about her every once in a while, you know. And I never say her name on the radio, but she lives north of us. And she has other income, but she has done really well with us.
And the reason I ask is because I know that when people are used to certain types of investments, like Wall Street, and they get into something else, you know, like a life settlement, they start investing in life insurance policies. I'm sure that a lot of people come in, they're not quite sure. They and it's not that they're not sure that it's not going to work, because obviously you've got the numbers to prove it and the data is there. But just as far as this, the general process, it's like, I'm not really sure what happens next or what I need to do. It's like, okay, I'm in, and then I just kind of wait for the policy to mature, and then I get paid. So I'm sure it's just really a matter of unsure of the process. And so it's important to point out that a lot of people do the same thing. I think I may be, you know, speaking out of turn here, but it sounds like a lot of people do the same type of thing. They start out small with, say, maybe $100,000, and then they kind of build up as, you know, as they see, oh, okay, I get it now. Now I know what to expect. Now I know, you know, how the process works. I don't have to get up in the middle of the night and check my portfolio. I don't have to call Faye every other day and say, has the policy matured? I know I just wait until it matures, and then I get paid. Do you get a lot of those?
Oh, yeah, that's really the way it works. You know, you just do the process, you get paid, and you do it again.
Awesome. Okay, so this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And we were also talking about how people can see the numbers for themselves if they would like to. You have all these all this information on your website, which is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there, see testimonials, see real figures of money that people have made. They can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So now, at this time of day on Saturday mornings, we always get into trivia. What's our topic this morning?
How many people do you know that are dead that are still advertising?
You could have given me 1,000 guesses of what we were going to talk about. That would not have been on the list.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Well, think about it. A lot of stars, they're dead, and everybody uses their name and their voice. Think about Colonel Sanders. After he passed away, they used his image and his voice and his all the time, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Okay. Jimmy Dean is the one I'm thinking about this morning.
I saw that commercial.
He advertised Jimmy Dean sausage all the time, right?
Yes.
He's been dead since 2010.
Well,
he's been dead since 2010. Let me tell you the story of Jimmy Dean.
All right.
He was born in Olsen, Texas, which is real close to Plainview. His parents moved to Plainview. You know, he went to high school there, dropped out, and started singing. And, of course, he became famous. Well, in the meantime, in I believe it was 1969, he started Jimmy Dean Sausage, him and his brother Don. Well, they had a falling out, so Jimmy bought him out. And he continued his sausage company all the time he was recording and becoming famous, and until the 80s. And a food company bought him out. And the sad part is they bought him out. He eventually sold all of his stock but one share because he was so disgusted with them. But over the years, then they decided he was too old to advertise for them.
Ooh.
This is what's so bad. They kicked him out is what they did. And Sarah Lee bought that company. And anyway, they kicked him out. Oh, you're too old to advertise for us. Now that he's dead, they brought him back and use his voice all the time to advertise the sausage. He's good enough for him now.
Yeah, Yeah.
Now that he's dead.
Yeah, he should have thought about that.
And every time I hear him, I'm thinking, you know, Jimmy Dean, you've been dead a long time. But you did a good job. And you know, I know a couple of preachers that have been dead a long time. One is from Nashville, and he was a very famous Baptist preacher. And he's been dead for years, and they still do his sermons just like he's right there alive.
Really?
And I guess because, he did such a good job when he was alive that they still play his sermons now that he's dead.
Wow.
But I can assure you, it's not him. He is gone on. The things about Jimmy Dean, now, he gave $1 million to Wayland Baptist University because, you know, he was proud of his hometown. He's proud of Texas. And he wanted to honor his parents. And it's where his museum is on the property of Wayland University in Plainview.
Cool.
A lot of people don't know that, but that's where his museum is, because he did give him $1 million several years ago because he said he was proud of his hometown and wanted. And they said it was the largest gift ever given to Wayland was that $1 million.
Wow.
Yes. And, of course, and I don't know if you remember this, but he was the first one that ever guest hosted on Johnny Carson.
Really? I didn't know that.
He was the first one that it was ever the guest host, and I did not remember it either. Do you remember what his first big song was?
No.
Big Bad John.
Oh, I was going to say Big John.
Yeah, that's what it was. And do you remember, of course, he had the Jimmy Dean Show, and he was the first one that had Jim Henson, the puppeteer, on. He made Jim Henson famous.
The Muppets.
And when he did, with the Muppets, and Jim Henson said, I will give you 40% of my company for getting me on and getting me started. And he refused. He said, I didn't do anything, really. And
wow.
So he could have owned half, 40% of Jim Henson's company, and he refused it. He was on the Daniel Boone series, and he starred as billionaire Willard White in the James Bond movie, Diamonds Are Forever. I did not remember that.
Me either. Interesting.
And he had moved to Richmond, Virginia, and that's where he passed away at. He was 81 when he passed away. But he had done so many famous things. One of his first big hits was Bummin' Around.
Mm.
And he signed with Columbia Records in 57. But he was on the Mitch Show. Do you remember Mitch Miller?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, okay. I guess you're too young for that. I remembered him. And Patsy Cline and Roy Clark got their start on his show.
Really?
And he was on the Town and Country Jamboree on Saturdays.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. And the Jimmy Dean Show was on weekdays and Saturday afternoons. And the Big Bad John deal, of course, made him millions. It went to number one and inspired a lot of things. It sold over 1 million copies.
You know, now I've got that song stuck in my head. All I can hear is Big John, Big Bad
That's
John.
Right. And another one that was top 10 was PT-109.
Ooh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, and that was big, and that was because he was honoring President John F. Kennedy right then.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And Hank Williams made his first television appearance with him.
Did he?
And yeah. And he also had Rolf the Dog. Do you remember that? I remember that, Rolf the Dog. And that was one of Jim Henson's puppets. And that was when it became so popular. And, of course, he was on the Ed Sullivan and the Pat Boone Show, years ago. And I remembered all that. But I think one of his biggest successes was his sausage company. Do you know what he was worth when he passed away?
I couldn't even guess.
$50 million.
Seriously?
$50 million.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed anywhere near that.
Yes. And some of his really famous things was the first time every morning and the last time every night. I remember that one. Stand by Me. And the one you say good morning to. And then after all those years, he wrote a new song, and I did not remember it at all, called I Owe You. And it was the first hit he'd had, and that was in 1976. His first hit he'd had in 10 years. And it made a lot of money, and it was about mothers. He recorded that because of Mother's Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't remember that one. I think there's an IOU song. I want to say it was by Lee Greenwood, but I don't think it's the same thing. That's the only one I can think of.
And, of course, he was inducted to all the country music halls of fame except the regular one. And in 2010, they were going to induct him into the country music hall of fame, and he passed away that year. Yeah. But can you imagine, he dropped out of high school to help his mother back in 1946. And, of course, he went to the service, did all that, and came back and, of course, had a fabulous career, you know. The Davy Crockett, Fantasy Island, he was on so many things. And he was even on Murder, She Wrote, and I remember that.
Really? Oh, I used to watch Murder, She Wrote all the time. I don't remember mine, but...
He recorded Ballad for a Blue Lady.
Cool.
Yeah, and I remembered that one episode of Murder, She Wrote, he played a singer under a different name that was murdered, and I remembered that one.
I don't remember.
And the other one, another first, that Bumming Around, you know, was one of his very first ones. But he wrote an awful lot of records. He was very famous. Had a lot of million-dollar records. And lived in up in Virginia, moved to Virginia, and I don't know why, but he lived on a river up there. And his house burned, and they rebuilt it, and that was really the year before he passed away.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he had a illustrious career, even if the sausage company thought he was too old to advertise for him.
I can't even believe they would even say that. I mean, it's a whole, I mean, he is the brand. I don't know why they would.
He is the brand. I mean, why would they have said he was too old to advertise? He passes away, and they bring him back.
It's probably some young, hotshot advertising kid who probably just out of college who said, I'm going to do this, you know, the new way and slick it up a little bit. And that just doesn't work.
But, you know, you hear him every morning saying, good morning, you know, you need to have your sunshine and your sausage, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Just saw the commercial the other day, and you know, it's the normal stuff. And I think they were introducing a new product. I don't remember what it was, but a new product they were advertising. So they had him still, you know, doing, you know, little drop-ins and things like that that they had pulled. But then they had to have a lady come in and do a voiceover in the middle of it because there weren't the right words to put together to talk about the new product because it didn't exist when he was still around, and so there's no recordings. And I'm like, interesting. So now when they expand and introduce new items, they still use him, but they had to have somebody else come in and just say a couple of words here and there. But he's still the focus of the commercial. It's really, really cool. It stuck out to me.
Well, yeah, and you know, everybody knows him. They know who he is, and he advertised it and makes it so sunshiny every morning about, you know, getting your sausage and with your breakfast and how you need it, you know.
It makes me want to go get some every day.
And I don't know. I doubt if they're paying his family a dime for that. They should be. He should have some kind of royalty agreement, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right about that.
But anyway, his museum is up there in Plainview at the college and be a good place for everybody to go and look at all of his things and his life.
So now I want to take a road trip. I want to go to the museum now.
That's right. I thought that'd be a good road trip for you. Everybody needs to do these things. If we did everything on my list, it would take a long time.
You know what you need to do? You need, and I know we keep coming up with all these things that you can do and expand into. You need to write a book about Texas tourism.
That's right. And my family wants me to write a book about my life.
You should. See?
They say it's so interesting. They would love for me to write a book.
I bet we could sit down for months and have stories with Faye Bagby, and it'd be a whole nother show. It would be really interesting.
It would be a whole nother show, I guarantee.
No doubt you have some tales to tell. Awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And if by chance you ever do write a book about your life and all the stories, let me know and I'll go get it. I'll be the first one in line.
You'll be the first one, okay.
Yeah, well. So when it comes to life settlements and things like that, I know people are looking for, you know, some stability. What makes a life settlement so stable? Because we've talked about how wonderful it is and how, you know, all these other areas of investments and business and things like that are not necessarily doing so well. Or if they are, it's unstable and, you know, they're up and down and, you know, all the uncertainty that goes with these things. What makes a life settlement such a great, stable investment, even in this environment right now?
Well, I think what makes it stable, it's a life insurance policy. Nothing more, nothing less. It is a life insurance policy on someone's life. So we're looking to the life insurance company to pay out every time. We're not looking at our company to pay it. We're looking at the life insurance company to pay when that person passes away. And I think that's a lot more stable than the stock market. You know, the stock market this last week, you know, had those drops like it does all the time. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't drop. It's not going to decrease. Whatever you went in with, you're going to get that back plus your interest. So I feel like it's very stable on a day-to-day basis because you know what you're going to make going in. You know that the life insurance company is going to pay off. So the paper you hold is from the life insurance company, and they've got more money than anybody in the world. So you know they'll pay off. You know that's not a problem. So that's why I think it's most stable, investment.
And you've got the numbers to back all this up. And, you know, while you're talking about this, you know, it's just crossed my mind. And tell me if I'm looking at this wrong. But, you know, when you started this, you know, well over a decade ago, almost two decades ago, when you started doing these kinds of things, you didn't do it because you said, hey, one day we're going to get the coronavirus and it's going to mess everything up and we're going to look for something that's stable. You found something that is stable in any kind of marketplace, any kind of environment, not with one specific, you know, wrench thrown into the mix. You're not trying to outsmart anything like that. You were just looking for something that's stable. You have managed to thrive, not only just succeed, but thrive in a time that took out companies, you know, legendary companies like Neiman Marcus and Brooks Brothers and Lord & Taylor. They're, you know, folding, filing bankruptcy, being sold and things like that. You're still going strong, and you've outlasted a lot of these companies that couldn't survive the marketplace. That's a big deal. You've got to be proud about that, and I would imagine your investors are probably pretty thankful for your position as well.
I think so. I know we all are, and we're thankful we're in the business we're in rather than all the things you could be involved in. I'm thankful it doesn't have the ups and downs. I'm thankful that a life insurance policy is safe. Yeah. I think a life insurance policy is, you know, so stable that, you know, we can invest in it day after day. You know, my children are in policies, you know. Unfortunately, my son is in one that's went over.
Oh.
But it happens to my family as well as everybody else's. Sometimes you're getting a policy, it's going to go over. It's just part of life. Then you'll get in a policy that's going to come in early. You know, it'll all add out in the end.
Yeah.
But I think it's the most stable thing there is. And that's why so many companies are getting into this. There's two or three new life settlement companies in Texas.
Really?
Yeah, they've just started in Texas. And it's because it is stable. And it's a lot more stable than a lot of things on Wall Street.
Yeah, and you were talking about, you know, your son being in a policy that that went over. People should know that there are three main risks involved with this, but I think when people hear what they are, they're going to realize, well, those yeah, they're technically risks, but you know, they're not devastating risks. There's a lot more risk involved when you cross the street. You know,
that's hard. It's true.
And so if it goes over, is that really the biggest risk? Is that the number
that
one thing?
That is the biggest risk. Your risk is that if it goes over, you won't get paid for this year. It may be next year or the next year. It could go over 2 or 3 years. And you have to be prepared for one or two of them or whatever, however many there are, to go over in your portfolio. But you know that the equity is still there. You're still going to get paid. It's not a problem like that. It's just you're going to have a delayed payment rather than an on-time payment. But it's not like the stock market. You know, if you don't get paid on it, it's because the stock went down to where there's nothing left. And that doesn't happen with this. With this, you know you're going to get paid. It's a matter of whether it'll be now or it'll be later.
Okay. All right. So with the stock market, people may not have anything to get paid on, whereas with a life settlement, they're still getting paid on it. It's just maybe a small delay.
That's right. So, you know, you know with a life insurance policy, those companies have got billions of dollars, billions and billions who will get paid, and that's who we're looking to. It's not like in the stock market, you're looking at all these companies, whether they're making money, whether you'll get paid or not. If they make money, the stock goes up. If they're not making money, the stock's going to go down, or it's going to just sit there. And a lot of them have declared no dividends, no payments this year.
Mm. All right.
And ours is, you know, you've got your interest built in. That interest is always there. It's built in to the deal when we do it.
Well, that risk is not so bad.
Yeah. So you know you'll always get your interest back. You know you'll always get your principal back.
What's risk number two?
I think that's pretty stable.
Yeah. What's the second biggest risk?
Second biggest risk is, remember, there's no cash available while it's invested. And I think everybody knows that. When you put up your money, it's not liquid till it matures. When it matures, you're liquid again and you can do what you need to do.
Also not a big deal. What about number three?
No. Number three is the least of all. If a life insurance company ever went under, it could delay your payments. But what we know is that there hadn't been a life insurance company go under in years because they have so high premium income, somebody's always ready to buy them.
And they've always got the cash reserves is what I'm looking for. They've always got all these cash reserves on hand, so you don't have to worry about, you know, like, you know, well, your money's tied up in this or it's tied up in that. It's actually there and ready for payment.
It is. It's always there. It's always ready for payment. They have so many billions, they could pay you out 10 times over.
Okay. And the reason a lot of these risks aren't such a big deal is because people do have to be accredited. And so what does that mean to actually qualify to do a life settlement?
They have to have either $200,000 a year in income, or they have to be worth $1 million without the home. You can't count your house. You can count everything you've got, your cattle, your horses, your ranch, your business, your 401k, your IRA, your savings, everything except your home. And or you can go the other route and based on $200,000 in income.
So essentially, you know, considering the fact that people do have to be accredited, if they do run into any of these risks, it's really not enough to ruffle anybody's feathers.
No, you'll be all right.
All right. So what about availability? I know you've got $3 million in policies that you're winning for death certificates and things like that. What about policy availability and appointment availability?
Appointment availability is available. Policy availability, we will know this week. We have a lot of them out, and we should have policies to invest in by the end of the week.
lots of opportunities on the horizon. Good information.
A lot of opportunities is right there.
Cool. All right, Faye. So one last time, what is your phone number? People can call and set up a Zoom meeting or a phone meeting. Is that cool to do phone meetings?
Sure, you can do either one. I do them all the time. All right. The phone number last time, 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.